Hello there, and welcome to Quite So, the podcast in which I discuss various topics through my own personalized lens, so that you'll always end up with my unwarranted advice and opinion. I am your host, Dada, and I want to remind you that this podcast airs in audio on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio, and it airs in video on Patreon for a subscription. Visit my website, dadaisms.com, that's D-A-D-A-I-S-M-S, dadaisms.com, and it will link you to all my platforms. Today I'll be talking about money dynamics, what we are taught about money in schools and since infancy, how to invest 101, my personal advice on small investments, and is your bank really your friend? Now, I am no economist, I am no financial advisor, I am simply discussing or talking to you based on personal experience, because I have been through the ringer with money issues, and I hope that with this small advice today, you will not suffer through the same things I've suffered through. I believe we can all agree that schools teach us nothing about how to manage our money, let alone about how to invest money. Simple money management matters are not even covered, and I hope that in the coming decades this will change. Unless we get off money and don't use money anymore as a currency, then that would be a different issue. But our information does not come only from schools, it also comes from family members. And when our family members are not educated or they are not well advised about money management and money investments, we are not going to also know anything about it. So we will emulate our elders, we'll emulate our parents in their behavior with money, and we end up losing money as a result. Of course, those who have people in their family who are investors and financial oriented people are lucky, because they will get that information from them, but these are few and far between, really. And I can tell you from my personal experience that in my family, and it's not only my father and mother, it's the extended family of aunts and uncles, and none of them knew or even know today how to manage money and how to work with money. They believe that they have to work hard to make money, and then they make money throughout their lives, enough for them to retire and live, you know, well. And that is basically it. Whatever they make, they put in the bank and they spend from it until it's gone. And if one of them or two of them buy a piece of land or a bit of real estate here and there, that's it. So when it came to me and to my personal finances, I also believe that this is it. I work, I make money, I put money in the bank, and at some point when I have enough money, I can buy something else. I can, you know, maybe buy a car, I could buy some gold, you know, and that's about it. And eventually the money will grow in the bank, supposedly because of the interest that the bank is giving me. And that was how it was for many, many years for me. And I can tell you that I've come once or twice into a good lump sum of money that I could have invested in different ways and that I did not. Looking back now, I would have loved to have invested in a small piece of land, for example, in part of that money, use another part to invest in gold and silver, and maybe even invest a quarter of that amount in a running business. There were at some point a lot of, you know, restaurant groups that were making lots of money that I could have invested in, and I could have, you know, made good profit and return on investment. But that wasn't the case. I simply put the money in the bank, used it as I needed, spent it, of course, over the years, and that was, you know, very bad money management. And I can tell you also from personal experience that putting money in the bank in the hope of getting interest is the worst thing you can do. Because first of all, there's inflation, so the value of your money is decreasing as the years pass. And second of all, if there's any bank crisis at any point, you will lose your money. And I am Lebanese, I've told you this before. In 2019, the bank crisis hit us in Lebanon. We suddenly ran out of dollars in the country. It was, of course, a very political thing, but we ran out of dollars in the country, and we're a dollarized country. And what happened was people could no longer access their money, whether in Lebanese lira or in dollars. So all accounts froze, and the value of your money plummeted, because with that bank crisis came inflation. So the bank refused to give people dollars because they wanted to hold on to their dollars. The banks wouldn't want to risk the dollars that they have. So it is true that people lived very well with the bank system for a long time in Lebanon, with high interest rates for about 15 or so years. But then, they were hit by this bank crisis and they lost it all. So is it advisable to put money in the bank, banking on the interest of the bank that the bank will give you? I will tell you no, after this personal experience. And, even today, the banking system around the world is not very stable. Let me just maybe explain this a bit further. The idea was that with the banks initially, they were supposed to have a gold reserve. So each country is supposed to have a gold reserve in its central bank. And this gold reserve is supposed to reflect the printed money and the amount of printed money. But all over the world now, there is overprinting of money by trillions and trillions. And the governments are trying to cover it up. And the thing is that now they're trying to buy gold again to try and, counter the inflation. And that is why also they're talking about cryptocurrency now and trying to legalize cryptocurrency and using that instead of gold, or instead of the gold reserve system, or I don't know, whatever system they want to come up with eventually. But many people are talking now about the possibility of not using money anymore, like solid paper money anymore. That will all be cryptocurrency from at some point on. So we'll see how that goes. But now let's stick to what we know and what we have between our hands. So my advice to you, is not to put money in the bank, like large amounts. Of course, you need spending money, whatever. Yes, keep a few thousand dollars in the bank, constantly running, rolling, in and out of the bank. That's fine. I mean, definitely, it's something practical to have on hand. However, when you start having surplus of money, I advise you to start small, because people think that to invest, they have to have like maybe more than $100,000. And that's not true. You can invest with $500 or even $200 or $1,000. And you could start by investing in gold. Gold and silver are amazing ways to keep the value of your money. Now, investing in gold and silver does not increase your money, okay? It just keeps your money, the value of your money intact. So that in case there's inflation, whenever there's inflation, the prices of gold and silver go up. And so you keep, the value of your money in the gold and silver. And so if you need one day to sell it, you sell it at the price, that's the market price, and you wouldn't have lost the value of the money. So to invest in gold and silver is simply to keep value of money, okay? Now, if you want to have return on investments, you can invest in small things that are luxury items that you could resell. For example, a Rolex. You could buy a Rolex for $10,000 one year, and maybe 5 years later, you can sell it for $15,000 or maybe $20,000. So it depends on, how rare it is and so on and so forth. Now, of course, there are Rolexes that sell for tens of thousands of dollars. That's a different issue. But, you can start small with one Rolex and then build your collection. Many women now, and it's kind of the rage now to collect Hermes bags like Birkins and Kellys and all that, and they try to not use them a lot and to resell them in pristine condition or unused condition. And they do make a lot of return on these bags a few years later. So you can always, you know, invest in luxury items because they will grow in value and in price as the years pass. And of course, you can invest in intangible things such as stocks and crypto, for example, if you're into that, in NFTs and so on and so forth. But you know, here there is more of a risk. You could be a risk taker. Just say, I want to invest in crypto from the beginning. That is your call. But I would see these personally as you know, more of a gamble. You're not sure how the prices are going to go up or down. Now, I want to go back to the idea of not relying on the bank, you know, to make you money. And I want to remind you that the banking system came to light with capitalism. And who created the banking system? The rich people. The rich people created banks to help them get richer. Okay. And so basically, the bank is really for rich people. The bank literally makes rich people richer. I'm sure you've heard of this a lot, that, you know, rich people don't pay taxes. Why? Most of the time, they go to banks, of course, because they have so much money and so many assets and so many investments that they've made, and they have this huge portfolio. They would go to the bank and tell the bank, hey, look, you know, I have all this in collateral, whatever. I want a loan of $1 million, $3 million, $5 million, whatever it is. And the bank gives them the loan because, of course, the bank is happy to, you know, have this client. And because the loan is, it's not taxed, okay? It's not even tax deductible. It's just simply untaxed. Okay, it's debt. So debt does not have tax. So because the loan is a debt, they don't pay tax on it. So they go to the government. And, you know, when they're filing their taxes and they show, oh, you know, I'm in this much in debt and that much in debt, and they don't pay taxes on these things. Of course, they have, the rich have many, many ways of not paying taxes, and there are many loopholes. I'm just giving you like one example. It has to do directly with the banking system so that you understand more and more what loans are all about and how they are used by rich people. So when you, middle-class person or poor person who has a limited income, when you live from paycheck to paycheck and you go to this bank and the bank calculates, oh, you make $1,000, okay. The bank says, okay, you can put aside 30% of your you know, paycheck to get a car loan. And so poor you go. You go, you buy a car, and you end up paying $300 every month for maybe 5 years to cover the cost of this new car that you bought. And it becomes such a burden on you because $300 out of $1,000 is quite of a chunk of money. And to cover it every single month, you think at first, oh yes, I'm doing well, it's good enough. But then, you know, as the months pass, it becomes a burden. And if you lose your job, you have no more paycheck. How are you going to cover this loan? And if you can't find another job, what do you do? And if you find a new job with a lower paycheck, as let's say $600 or $800, what are you going to do? So you are basically squeezing yourself into a corner when you take a bank loan with limited income. And the same goes with a house loan. And that is why there are so many foreclosures on homes and on cars. So this social pressure, and here social pressure also plays a very, very big role. The social pressure that forces you into buying the new car that's for $35,000 or even $20,000. And even forces you to buy a home for $150,000 or $120,000. This social pressure puts you in a corner, makes you go to the bank and get a loan, and squeezes you into a corner even further, you know? So my advice to you, from my personal experience, what I'm doing now, buy a used car. You can buy a great car for $5,000, $7,000. Even if it's an old model, it could be in tip-top shape. It could be as good as a new car. You know, just you have to let go of the show off, of the ego that I want to buy the latest model. As for buying a house, renting is totally fine. There is no shame in renting a house. You can even rent a fully furnished house. And then when you're bored with it, you can go on to another fully furnished house. So if you keep in mind that the bank is not your friend, you know, when you're not rich, I wish you all the riches in the world. And I hope that one day you'll all be millionaires, but without inflation, please. Millionaires with the value that is today for millions, okay? And I really wish you all the best. But when you are not a millionaire or a billionaire, the bank is not your friend. And if you realize this, and if you are smart enough to make your money work for you through not getting into loans and through investing in small items and in, you know, doing small investments that have a good return on money, then you are king. And so on this note, I will end this episode, again reminding you, I am no financier, I am no economist. This is just based on my personal opinion, my humble opinion, and my personal experience, and what I've learned these past 2-3 years of research. And so on this note, I will end this episode, and I will talk to you again in 2 Sundays. Take care.